He was part of the Lausanne movement. He was part of the Anglican Church. He was a scholar. But he was also a deep thinker. He's engaged with IFES students worldwide. And he encouraged Christians to always think. And Dr. John Mackay, a former president of Princeton Seminary, made a statement in John Stott's book, Your Mind Matters, that caught my attention. And what did he say? Because I said advocacy requires commitment, I thought I should qualify that. And I thought that Dr. John conveys the point better. He says commitment without reflection is fanaticism in action. But reflection without commitment is the paralysis of all action. That's why I said our God is a doing God. And He's also called us to do for Him as we be like Him. I have a few things here that I quickly want to run down by way of an outline, just so you can have it. Because this is prepared, I would be ready to also hand it over to the national director so that you can have access to it. Introduction. What is advocacy? Brief history of advocacy. Misconceptions about advocacies. Examples and changes brought into the world by reason of advocacy. Then I want us to also look at how does advocacy promote social justice, peace, and development? Should Christians participate in advocacy? Starting advocacy, how do you go about it? And then we'll try to conclude. Advocacy is raising a voice for the voiceless. There are many voiceless people in society, those on the margins of society, the voiceless. All through history, human societies have grappled with situations where certain people are oppressed by other people. That's part of the Nigerian context. Lots of oppression taking place. Different parts of Nigeria, people are crying for being marginalized. The South-South, Niger Delta, that's what led to the Niger Delta militancy, their struggle. What about people from the Middle Belt, not central part of Nigeria, where I come from? There's been so much marginalization taking place there. There are other places in this country, very ironical, that even Boko Haram and the others are crying of marginalization. It's a contradiction within the context of Nigeria. And we need to understand that many people are oppressed. Those on the margins of society are the most vulnerable victims of social justice or social injustice. The oppressors are usually those who have more power, better financial position, and social standing than the oppressed. Sometimes the oppressed are so weakened by the oppression that all they can do is groan. Under what Martin Luther King Jr., the American civil rights leader, identified as the iron and fist of oppression. Standing up for justice in their situation becomes a luxury they can barely afford. Fear of further punishment, fear of hunger, and sometimes fear of death contributes to the reasons why the oppressed do not stand up for themselves. And in other cases, they have no platform to defend their cause. Hence, they become voiceless. They need for a platform. Now, let me take you for one moment quickly to Exodus. When the children of Israel were groaning under the iron and fist of oppression in the hands of the pharaohs, the nobility of Egypt, they were not happy. And when they went to complain, after God spoke to Moses, oh, the powers that be in Egypt said, oh, they don't have anything to do now. We're going to make things difficult, more terrible for them. And they asked them to produce bricks without providing the materials for producing those bricks. They were whipped. They were beaten. The children of Israel were oppressed in Egypt. They went through that for 400 years. In the land of bondage. Until God raised a deliverer in Moses. But Moses was basically acting out the script of God. Therefore the oppressed need someone, in some cases an outsider, who has the courage and the platform to speak truth to power on their behalf. The same Martin Luther King Jr. said, and I thought what he said is instructive for us as IFEA students, as NIFA students, to begin to think. He said, and I quote him, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." When a particular area or a people are being attacked, never say no, it doesn't concern us. It's them. They are the ones being oppressed. I want to be disciplined. Otherwise, I really can share life stories with you because I'm involved in what I'm talking about. When the killings began in Jos in 2010, in full force, communities were attacked. There were all kinds of narratives developed to justify those attacks. And certain ethnic nationalities in Plateau State said, well, it's only the Birams that are being attacked because they are stubborn. They are this, they are that. But not sooner, they moved from the Birams to the Irigwes in Bassa local government. And they moved to Bokkos, where an attack took place just a few days ago. And people thought, well, it's only Plateau State. It didn't take long. It went to Southern Kaduna. It went to Taraba. The church in the South thought, well, it's the North. We are okay, we are safe. But right now, because not too many people were speaking, right now, the whole of Nigeria is engulfed in the insecurity conundrum. These are realities of our situation. So a threat to justice. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So we begin to think. When students are victimized, when some of our sisters, because they're beautiful, they go through a lot, and NIFA students, the girls, are you not beautiful? Hello? NIFA students, are you not beautiful? No, I'm not hearing your answers. Thank you for your weak answer. NIFA girls, are you beautiful? Let's hear your voice again. Are you beautiful? NIFES students, young men, are NIFES girls beautiful or not? I know you're going to answer. They are beautiful, but spare them during this conference. Is that correct? But I want to come back to make my point. Because a girl is pretty, on campus, lecturers will demand that she sleeps with them before they pass her. When you know things like that, what are you doing about it? Do you say, well, it's about that girl, it doesn't matter, let me leave her? Or when they begin to harass some fellow Christians because they come from certain parts, do you do something about it, or you just leave it and say, well, is this guy from so-so and so-so area? Remember that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Because over time, they will be coming for you. So we need to understand and we need to act. We need to stand up for justice. Stand up for social justice. Jesus had a heart for the oppressed. We draw from the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he stood up to speak on their behalf. We see this throughout Scripture. Standing up in advocacy requires a call and a divine sense of duty to ensure that the oppressed get justice. This desire to ensure people get justice as all humans created in God's image is the root source of advocacy. Our humanity, created in God's image, don't allow others to be oppressed and to suffer because they are just the other. A Muslim imam, and as some of you know, we have a peace foundation that works with both Christians and Muslims. One of the things that people have struggled with is that how can Christians get to be involved with Muslims at very high levels in Nigeria? When God led me to begin the Peace Foundation, there were other Christians that struggled with it. How are you going to pull this off? Do you trust Muslims and the rest of it? I don't want us to get into those arguments. But Muslims are also created in the image of God. I interact with them, both the low Muslims, the middle level Muslims, and the high level Muslims. I do. Do I interact with them with my eyes confused, not seeing? No, my eyes are wide open. But just like the last speaker said, what looks like a challenge could become a mission opportunity. And I can begin to tell you things, but I want to hold back so I can just go ahead and make some of these points. The point is that Jesus loves the Muslims as well. He cares for them. It's so easy to hate because of what we're experiencing in this nation. But I want to encourage us, and I will never encourage those oppressors to get away. You can Google my name on the internet. You would look at some of the things I've said. You would know that I don't treat the Nigerian government with kid gloves. No! I try to speak out, but I also try to have the facts before speaking out. We try to pick on issues with the authorities. Advocacy is part of our divine duty to God's humanity. Advocacy has many definitions. And generally speaking, advocacy is any action or a combination of actions by either individuals or a group which are taken in order to create change for the benefit of oneself or others who may be in a position, who may not be in a position to create that change for themselves. When you advocate for others, you stand up for them to defend them and speak up for them so that they can have better life experiences. So advocacy is putting a problem on the agenda. So for instance, the issue of exams malpractice. You can put it on the agenda as Jesus students on campus, NYFES students. Those are things you can advocate for on campus. Put it on the agenda. Sexual harassment for women and girls on campus. Those are issues you could easily put on the agenda. Speak up against. You can organize seminars. You can organize workshops. You can begin to address them on your campus. The Chinese say the journey of 1,000 miles begins with taking the first step. Think of what to do and do something about it. So advocacy can be undertaken by an individual or a group with the goal of influencing and changing political, economic, and social institutions for the common good of society. So advocacy is the process of supporting and enabling people. So it enables people to express their views and concerns, helps people to access information and services, helps to defend and promote their rights and responsibilities, helps to explore choices and options left for people. People should not basically have death sentence over them because of their being marginalized. Advocacy helps to address the problem of discrimination that comes in different forms. Advocacy helps to make public officers and politicians accountable. Even university administrators accountable. Advocacy addresses inequality in the provision of services. So the message of the gospel as good news to humankind is rooted in the justice of God, which goes beyond social justice to spiritual deliverance from the injustice of Satan and the demonic structures of injustice in the world, sustained by those who seek to overturn the rule of God. They seek to overrule the lordship of Jesus Christ with the lordship of oppression and injustice. I fear students are well placed to advocate for the justice of God in all the ramifications. A dear brother Tim shared on Monday what those students did in Guatemala just to get the message across in their campus to address some of the corruption taking place on that campus. Corruption is rife in a number of educational institutions in Nigeria. How many NYFES groups are addressing that issue on their campus? Maybe NYFES students, you belong to campuses where all the university administrators are angels. Am I correct? There's no corruption on your campus. Am I right? Everything in your campus is very clean. Everything is straight. Is that correct? Can I hear your no again? Exactly. The scandal of handouts. How professors, teachers, lecturers will be using handouts to make money off students. Corruption is real on campus. NYFES students, as you engage in Bible studies, don't just be theoretical, be practical. What are you going to do to address corruption on your campus? There are ways to do it without taking your mind off the focus of why you're on campus. Surely you can do something, as I shared with us. The message of the gospel is indeed rooted in the justice of God. We need to think about that. I fear students are well placed to advocate for the justice of God, as I said. The definition of both points to the fact that advocacy is about working towards bringing about transformational change, mobilizing support to influence policies, including university policies. When they did that little citation about me, they mentioned that my passion is to see Africa transform with kingdom values. That's real. That's me. That's part of Gideon. I love our vibrant Christianity in Nigeria. I love it when I see us praying. I love it as we're fasting today to pray. I love it when I see NIFES students all over the floor praying and crying before the Lord. That is good. But here's the board. The board is when you stand up from that place of prayer. How much has your life been transformed? How much are you living as a faithful witness for Jesus on your campus, in your relationships? How do you honor God? You know, I have this to say about Nigeria, and I've said this in places where we've had both the Kan National President, we've had the Secretary of the State Government, of the Federal Government represented, with the Sultan of Sokoto, all of them present, with ministers. And I had the opportunity to respond to a lecture. And I said one of the contradictory things about Nigeria is that Nigeria is one of the most religious countries in the world. Muslims, they don't joke with praying 5 times in a day. If you went into Abuja yesterday, Friday, you would have seen a number of streets actually blocked. Because once it's time for the mosque, almost the Muslims everywhere, they take over. Listen, I'm not the new prophet in town. If you look at Abuja, there's actually a rise in Islamic revival. Islamic revival is taking place in Nigeria. You need evidence, go to Abuja on Friday. Just go to Abuja on some of the praying times. I don't know whether you're seeing. That's part of understanding our mission context. Real religiosity by Muslims. And you come to Christians, we are also very religious. You go to federal government offices, prayer meetings are taking place, even in the banks, true or false. So how can we be so religious, Christians and Muslims, and yet we are so ungodly in our ways? It's a contradiction. There's a disconnect. You cannot be religious and be ungodly. But that's why religion is dangerous. Religion is a problem. So I encourage us as NIFES students to live out our faith. Evangelism through lifestyle is what I challenge and encourage you all to live out. Show the fruit of the Spirit beyond just the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Many times we grab the microphone. I hear people. I don't say this to discourage you, but I just need you to think that transformation is critical. The real reason for advocacy is to move for change, transformational change. But how many times when people grab the microphone here, without wasting time, the next thing you hear, and I'm speaking in tongues in another way, what you start hearing is Rivaldo, Maradona, Leonardo. If this generation will remember those names. I just called the name of some footballers who are quite popular back in the 90s. Praying in tongues is good. But make sure that the fruit of the Spirit in your life excels your speaking in tongues. Can I hear you say amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, don't just speak in tongues. Live out the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because people do tongues. Do you want me to blow in tongues for you? Now let me say this to you. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit I operate in discernment of spirits, word of knowledge, speaking in tongues, and actually interpreting those tongues. I've received many prophecies in tongues, and the Lord would instantly give the interpretation, and I give it. If I don't get the interpretation, I speak quietly to myself. If I'm alone, I can pray and make that noise. You know, but when you are with other people, it's okay to pray in tongues, but it's important to follow what the Bible says. Absolutely important. If I pick on the religiosity of Nigeria, but God loves Nigeria, and I know the shaft will disappear, and the real Christianity that this country has yearned for, NIFES students have prayed for through the years, that true Christianity will prevail at the end of the day. So we need to stand up to cry out to God, to see the bad policies, even on our campuses, are changed. The destruction of the environment in reckless bush burning. I want to bring it home so you understand. When people talk about climate change and some of the challenges, our brother talked about global warming, Dr. David. I said, by the way, I prepared this sermon long before now. It's to bring it home. Bush burning is a challenge to the environment. Now, let me see. How many of us here know anything about bush burning? You know about bush burning. Can you put up your hand? Let me see. Clap for those who put up their hands. You see, when I was a young child, growing up in the village, by the way, I'm a village boy. So when you see my email address, Gora PM Boy, that Gora is the name of my village. So it actually means I'm the son of my father from this village. So people have asked me, what's the meaning of Gora PM Boy? It's just the name of my village. When I grew up in the village, I used to do bush burning also by chasing rats. How many chase rats like me? Bush burning is a challenge. Desert encroachment is a challenge. Those are real things. What I argue against, and I've told people, including one-star general, two-star generals in public meetings, that because of desert encroachment, climate change challenges, you cannot put down all that's happening to Nigeria as farmer herders clash, or you say it is because of the environment, or it's because of desert encroachment. It's too simplistic. But we need to save our environment. NIFES students, IFES students, we need to act to protect the environment. We can begin to plant trees. I believe in these simple steps. Sexual abuse, which is pervasive in our society. You just look at the news, read the newspapers. There are things that what is being done to women? Oh, believe in me, my heart bleeds. The abuse that women go through. It's not just because I'm married to a wife who is a professor of gender and development that's making me talking. Actually, before I met my wife, I had always spoken up for women. I've told this story a couple of times. Please listen to it. When I was doing my A-levels, like you, preparing to go to the university, I used to have a very wicked uncle. He's late now. Because he's so wicked, everybody feared him. And on top of that, he was classified as a first-class witch. So when you deal with him physically, he will deal with you in the spirit. And this uncle he had four wives, but he will also take over wives of his other brothers that have died. And he used to molest those wives. He used to beat all his wives, except one that was his favorite. And then his younger brother died. The younger brother, you know, was age-mate with my father. By the way, my father died when I was still 7. But my father was the first convert to Christianity in my village. And a research student decided to do a story about my father. When it comes out, you'll be able to get a chance to read that story. So he, together with that guy, they passed away. And so this uncle took the other brother. That wouldn't happen to my mother. That's why I have a compound name. He used to beat her. And to beat a woman on market day is worse. One day he beat her, he'll strip her naked. And everybody will be afraid to go close to him. I was just an 18-year-old boy. I walked up to him and I said to him, if you touch this woman again, I will deal with you. 18-year-old, NIFES student. In fact, let me shock you. I was actually the president of NIFES on my campus at that time. I didn't get the privilege of listening to a talk like this. But something inside of me just said, this is not correct. Everybody was running from him. I was running towards him. And I said, touch her again. And I stood there. I said, you touch her again. Well, of course, African tradition tells us I can never lift my hand against an elder. But God gave me a good mouth. Do you understand? To use it as a deterrent. So I told him, why are you so wicked? Why are you tormenting this woman? Why are you always beating her, disgracing her? And I grabbed the woman by the hand and I told her mother, go back to your room. And I said to him, you touch her. You touch her. And I really meant it. Now, you know, you have to be careful, because when the flesh takes over, is the flesh, the anger of flesh is a bit different from the anger of the spirit. Do you understand me? So you got to be careful, because if I end up boxing him, you know that the flesh has taken over and no longer the Holy Spirit. The Lord helped me. He left her, stopped beating her, and I continued to drum it into his head. But you know, in the evening, you grew up in the village. I went to the stream to bath, and I had a towel over me. He tapped my skin and said, your skin is flesh. Your flesh is fresh. So I said to him, it will take the Holy Ghost to do that. I said to him, look at it, touch it, but you cannot eat it. Because many of us here, we fear those in the villages that will deal with us, isn't it? They don't do you. You have Christ, you have the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid of any witch or wizard. You are triumphant in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm watching out. And so I would like to quickly say this. That the brief history of the word advocacy is from the Latin word advocare, which is a means calling out for support. Just support those who need it. And I want to encourage you to think about that. And under misconceptions about advocacy, I'll just highlight 5 points and move on. It's all about asking for money. No, advocacy is not about NGOs. It's not about asking for money. No, advocacy can make a difference. It's only for influential people who are politically conscious and activists. No, you can be an advocate. I just gave you an example of when I was a small young guy advocating against wife beating in my village. And actually, I can tell you something I did also when I was a university student. A guy working in the university used to lock his wife in the room and he would beat her. This time also I was president of NIFES, FCS at ABU. And I went to on a visit with another brother. I heard a woman screaming and crying. What was happening? And then the sister said, you know, this man, that's how he beats his wife. Locks the door. Hey, NIFES students, did you know what your president Gideon did? We hit the door, he wouldn't open. We hit the window, he wouldn't open. 2 of us brothers, we broke the door and we separated him from his wife. The wife was pregnant. We rescued her from him. You don't have to be influential. There are too many people involved in it doing advocacy. No, actually, looking at this, the authentic advocates should be people like you who know the Lord, who fear the Lord. One person cannot make a difference. Number four, no, you can make a difference. Worse still, I cannot make a difference. You can make a difference. Daniel, as our brother Tim shared during his talk, made a difference. The campus as a mission field, but you now becoming a missionary on the campus field, you can make a difference. Five, one has to be special or has to have a lot of money with courage, etc., to engage in advocacy. No, I began advocacy not because I had money. I began advocacy because God placed a burden in my heart. I want to quickly move now. You know, there's an example I want to share with us of people that God has used to advocate for change and contributed immensely. You can't do all. It's like an elephant. You do your part. Look at the apartheid in South Africa. I'm very proud to say that are NIFES associates who really contributed towards the liberation, the end of apartheid. One of them is Reverend Dr. Frank Chikane. Zelalem has met him. I probably Tim too, but he's one of those I work with closely. I really admire him because he worked in as Secretary General of the Council of Churches in South Africa to move. And when Mandela became president, he invited him to be Deputy Chief of Staff. When Thabo Mbeki became president, he brought him to be Chief of Staff. Right now, Frank Chikane is doing some things, solving problems, running as an envoy for the UN, for the AU. We are in touch. His roots, NIFES. His roots, SCO, IFES. May God raise someone like you to do more than this guy that I just talked about. Can I hear you say amen? What about Cyril Ramaphosa, the current president of South Africa? As Tim mentioned, I had the privilege, actually, of communicating with him in his office, and I still do. The truth of the matter is this. He was a member of ESCO just like you. He attended an IFES training. And when he was inaugurated as the president of South Africa, he said he learned the principles of leadership from attending IFES meetings. May you become another Cyril Ramaphosa. Hallelujah. The Lord is able to make it happen. So these are examples of people I can bring closer to you. I can pick some in Nigeria, but I just want to move until we quickly round up. So advocacy can do a lot to promote economic justice. And honestly, there's something here, I'll just mention it quickly, but Jeffrey Sachs, it's one of the brilliant economic minds. He wrote a book on globalization. The world is a global village. I love his writings. I read him, I study him, I listen to him. And Godfrey Sachs actually talked about the fact that there's inequality in the distribution of economic wealth worldwide. And he had to make an advocacy recently asking that there's the G20, and the G20 has some of the most powerful economies and nations in the world. But then he said one group is missing, and that is Africa. So he's advocating that it should move from G20 to G21. He said Africa must be represented at the table. And he says principles of human dignity based on the universal suffrage needs to be factored in. And he said the chair of AU should be represented in the G20 permanently, so it becomes G21. And why? He said 1.4 billion people live in Africa. I don't know whether you studied this, but this week the UN released their statistics. Global population now is 8 billion. 1.4 in Africa. And I tell you this, 70% of Africa's population are young people like you. Tag in and make these advocacies on some of these issues. Because, you see, he highlighted some things which I found very, very intriguing. 2,775 billionaires in the world, and they have significant wealth above all the rest. That's something we all need to think about. So I'm going to move close now, and move towards rounding up. And I want to just share something here in achieving economic justice. I've shared the little story of Jeffrey Sachs. And then one other area that you can make a difference is legislative advocacy. So members of parliament, your legislators, I know in Nigeria they play big manism. No one would like to come near, but I want to encourage you to move close and relate to them. When you engage in advocacy, it is absolutely important also that you have facts. You have all the facts inside of you. You can read, you can study. Our Peace Foundation is not just about talking about peace with Christians and Muslims in Nigeria. Yeah, we've seen differences, no time to share that. But I want to tell you this. We also involve in empirical research. We do lots of research. Because when you have the correct figures, it helps you. I can tell you from our database, you know, I just pulled this out to share with you so you know. So if you are research-minded, you can get involved in advocacy. Between September 2019 and 2020, we documented Christian kills and Muslim kills. But I just want to share with you on Christians. We're 3,603 Christians that were killed between October 2019 and September 2020. And the following year, October 2020 to September 2021, how many do we have Christians killed? 4,303 Christians. And then we come into this year, 2021 October to 2022, how many do we have? 5,230 Christians killed. I'm saving time. I would have given you for Muslims, or I've also given you for those who are atheists. But what I brought this to show to you, that the killings of Christians in Nigeria is ascending from 3,000 in 2020 to 4,000 plus in 2021, and it's gone to 5,000 plus in 2022. I would like you to rise up as an advocate to end the killings of Christians in Nigeria, to end the killings of Nigerians in general. I want to encourage you, please, to think about that. So as we wind down towards closing, should Christians participate in advocacy? The answer, I would say to you, is yes. When you get the entire paper, you can read it and see why I came to that conclusion. But I remember the story of an IFS leader, he's late now, Isabelo Magalid from the Philippines. He trained as a medical doctor, just like our own doctor here, Dr. Paul Inenche, and Pastor, his wife, also a medical doctor. By the way, we have a very close relationship, and I need to let you know, they were students when I was NIFES traveling secretary. So I've known them from their student days to where they are today. And I look at them and I thank God. They gave up their medical practice. That's true. And they decided to go into ministry. I actually went abroad to do my master's. By the time I came back, I heard that he has moved to Abuja. Okay, later we connected. I mean, was it last year? He invited me over to his home. We spent the night in their house. He has a heart for NIFES. He's part of that house that led him to provide this place. And I say, may God produce more of Inenches. Now in Philippines, Magalit read medicine, gave up medicine, went into pastoring. He started by being a staff worker with IFS. After being a staff worker with IFS, he proceeded to pastor a church. And with the support of his church elders, he began to advocate, spoke to issues in his country. And guess what? The revolution that took out the dictator, Ferdinand Marcos, in the 80s, part of that revolution was supported by a former IFS board member, by a former IFS staff worker, Isabello Magdalene. May God produce more from this country that will keep the dictators at bay. Can I hear you say amen? Praise the Lord. So when you talk about freedom of religion, and I'm winding down now, that is a big challenge. And the story, the case of Leah Sharibu, tells us that religious freedoms in Nigeria is being undermined. Many of our daughters picked up by Boko Haram have been subjected to all kinds of inhuman conditions. We need to be fearless in standing up to advocate for them. And one point of advocacy I'm bringing here, I'm about rounding up now, is to say that prayer is also a tool for advocacy. Can you engage in prayer? You never know. People have said to me, what of Leah Sharibu? We have been praying. God is doing nothing. In fact, she's dead. She's not alive. And let me tell you, even last week, I got a message from that side that Leah is still doing very okay. That is God at work. What about others? There's only Leah, but there are several others. I can't mention their names here, but some of them, with the privilege of God's help and divine intervention, we've gotten some of their names. But I tell you this, I did a quick study between April this year and August this year. About 11 people were rescued from that place by divine intervention and miracle. For the sake of confidentiality, we have a powerful testimony. And if you want to clap, this is the real time to clap. They will not stand up. No, you haven't heard the story. What are you clapping for? They will not stand up, but seated in this congregation, in this dome of faith, are two of God's daughters captured by those bad guys. But God literally went and rescued them. They are seated here. So when I say God is on the throne, that God rules in the affairs of men and women, don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Let's have faith. Let's advocate. God will bring freedom to His people in the name of Jesus. There are passages of scripture, but I want to leave them out. And I'm just going to conclude by quickly saying this. There's a ruthless judge, he's late now, an American judge, a justice of the Supreme Court. His name is Thurgood Marshall. He said, where you see wrong or inequality or injustice, speak out. Because this is your country. This is your democracy. Make it. Protect it. Pass it on. Talking about advocacy, Marshall Thurgood. And I want to round up with a quotation from someone I quoted before. An icon in IFS. He's going to be with the Lord, Uncle John Stott. He says, and I quote him. He says, in this day and age, many young people are eager to act. Is he lying? Sometimes, almost with some fair doses of reflexivity. In other words, you just hear fire here, you are ready to start acting. It's good to have that mind. The first question Stott observed, which students easily ask, is not, is it true, but does it work? If I get engaged in advocacy, does it work? From the examples I have given to us, it works. He went further to say, young people tend to be activists, dedicated supporters of a cause, though without always inquiring too clearly, either whether their cause is a good, will serve to a good end, or when pursued, or whether their action is the best means by which to pursue it. So I invite you to think, what causes is God laying in your heart? What would you like to rise up to do, to address the challenge of injustice. I'm going to give an invitation, not asking you to come forward, but I ask you to stand up. If God has laid a cause in your heart to advocate for, to stand up for, you've identified it, but maybe you're unsure how to begin. But this afternoon, you want to be able to offer yourself and say, Lord, use me in this area of advocacy as part of missions. Can I encourage you please to stand up? Just stand up where you are. I want to ask you to come forward. Just stand up. God bless you. God bless you. Just stand up. Yes, God bless you. Yes, stand. God bless you. I'm seeing you. Stand up. God bless you. God bless you. Just stand up. It's a lonely path. There are stories of those who are IFS students who have participated in advocacy. It's lonely. One is a Christian student in Hong Kong. He's in prison right now. But prison must never stop you. I can't tell you how many times I've gone straight into DSS office over people who are involved. People who have spoken truth to power. They come after them. I'm usually not scared to go there and say, hey, this and this and this is that. I know it comes with the territory. If you hear tomorrow that they have picked me up, don't be scared. Do you understand? Don't be scared. Anymore, those that will stand up, stand up. You believe God has taught you in this area. One area of advocacy. I thank God for those of you who are standing. Do we have any more that have stood up? Sorry, that would like to stand up. Stand up because I'm going to say a quick prayer for you. God bless you. God bless you. I did promise I'm not going to ask you out. I will keep that promise. And there are quite a significant number of you. But what I'll appeal to you is that when we finish this prayer, before we go to the next session, just step out. Please go out. Oh no, there's a place here. Who is the guy guiding people here? The ushers. You go there because we're going to do something with you. I'll just do something with you so that your commitment, we can follow up and help you through. Can I invite my brother team to please come forward and pray for them? Just come forward and pray for them. Yes. Thank you again for standing there, brother. Just remain standing. Lift your hands up. We're going to pray for you. Those of you who are standing, just lift your hands up. You make that commitment to the Lord. Just raise your hands up. Yes. Those of you standing. And Brother Tim will pray for you.
Father God, I thank you for this beautiful sight. A generation of students who are committing their lives to stand for the values of truth and justice in this country. Lord, I pray that their commitment won't stop here, but that you would walk with them from this building, that as they go out into the mission field, you would empower them, give them courage, give them boldness, give them wisdom, and give them a direction of where they need to stand and how they can stand for you. Lord, I thank you for each and every one of them. And Lord, I pray and I know that you will go with them as they give their lives to serve you from this place. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Those of you who are standing, please, can you just step out a bit? Just a few seconds. Just step out. Who is leading them? Yeah, just stand up quickly. Those of you who stood up, just step out for a few.